And welcome to another fun episode of that 401k podcast. Ari Rosenbaum along here with Dan Venturi. Dan, how are you?
I am doing well. How are you, sir?
Okay, I guess. You know, back to the grind after Labor Day, which I kind of hate. And, you know, it's just busy stuff and, you know, running all these events and all that kind of stuff. So it's, you know, once you get back from the summer, all of a sudden you'd like delve into, you know, realization that you got all this work to do and you can no longer delay it and just got to go out and do it.
You got to do it.
And speaking about events, by the time people will hear it, a week from the time you hear this, when the issue, when the podcast will be released, we'll be in Cleveland, Ohio, Progressive Field, September 20th. That 401k conference, a lot of fun. Special guest Corey Snyder. It's going to be a fun event in the Mistake by the Lake, or that's I think how they call Cleveland. At least they did in the 70s. Then afterwards, in October 11th, we will be in Foxborough Gillette Stadium, home of the Super Bowl champion New England Patriots. Then November the 8th, we'll be in East Rutherford, New Jersey, kind of being close to home by being at MetLife Stadium, home of the Giants and the Jets, for a Giants-specific event. And then, of course, December 13th, Dallas, Texas, well, Arlington, Texas, AT&T Stadium. That's going to be a lot of fun. And then, of course, we have our Disney event, March the 10th to 11th, 2020. Again, we're getting some, you know, a lot of interest from sponsors for the events, and we're, you know, we're working on, you know, developing speakers and, you know, different ideas for events and whatnot. So we hope that you can join us for these events. Our topic for today is how to be a big thing in the 401k plan business or play one on TV. And that's a running joke of mine. I always say that I'm an ERISA attorney, or I play one, you know, or I play one on TV, I'm an ERISA attorney and I play one on TV. That's in reference to a commercial. Peter Bergman, who now is Jack Abbott on The Young and the Restless. He's not just now; he's been on for 30 years. But in the 80s, he played a doctor, Cliff Warner, I think, on All My Children, and he did a VIX. I don't even think they make it anymore. Vicks 44 cough syrup. You know, they do NyQuil and all. I don't know if they still make that. But anyway, he used to do these ads where he's like, I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV. So, you know, that's where that line comes from, the article. But that I wrote that we're, you know, doing this podcast on. But really, there are, you know, ways about, you know, generating interest and making a name for yourself in the business. And there are some right ways to do it, and really there's some wrong ways to do it. And this is really about the right ways to do it. You know, the wrong ways obviously is, you know, to me a perfect example is just being an annoying person on LinkedIn. You know, I just had it. It was pretty funny. I live in Oceanside, I want to do a comedy act one of these days. I have a friend of mine, she's a comedian. She's like, oh, you got to do a comedy act and whatever. And I'm like, if I'm going to do a comedy act, I'm going to talk about how the fact that I used to think that I lived in Oceanside, that it was a wonderful community, and then all of a sudden Facebook came up, and then we had these Oceanside community Facebook groups and pages. And it's kind of like human cockfighting, people expressing opinions and then people fighting about that they don't like your opinion and that kind of stuff. And it was pretty funny that I got into a fight with some – you know, I made some political observations, and you know, I don't like when if you know anything about me, you know, I don't like when plan providers are picked because they're related to somebody or through cronyism. And so, when it comes to, you know, government jobs or even jobs in the school district, I don't like the idea that people are picked because of who they know rather than what they know. And somebody retorted, he's like, cronyism, are you saying that? Yeah, I was talking about a school board member, and the guy says, are you using the word cronyism because the guy's Italian and he's from South Ozone Park? And I looked at the definition of cronyism, and cronyism is not like Fredo, where you can say, you know what, that's some kind of anti-Italian slur. Cronyism is actually a old English / Irish term from, I think, the 1700s. So it's not specific to Italians and just, you know. So anyway, this guy who's getting to a fight with me, whatever, he told me to F off, literally. And He's a business person, a small business person in the area who's a real estate agent, and that's the example I give you of how to make your name for yourself in the business in a bad way. Now everybody knows that he's a moron on Facebook. Why would I go to him as a real estate agent locally? It's just bad for business. And that's really one example where, you know, to be a plan provider, that's not how the way you want to get your name out there. You don't want to be known, you know, for bad business habits and this and that. So number one on my list, how to be a big thing in the 401k plan business. One of my favorite movies of all time is The Shawshank Redemption. And one of the great, you know, I always talk about Shawshank Redemption. I watched that so many times in law school, and I always jokingly say that that's the movie that saved my life in law school. Without that movie, I don't know how I'd be able to make all the nonsense and go through it all 3 years. And it's a great line, get busy living or get busy dying. And I think that that's one of the most important things, you know, that you should learn. You have a choice. You could either just sit and do nothing, or you can work hard and develop something for your business. I learned that get busy living, get busy dying. It was important to me when I worked at that Long Island law firm, you know, with Lois and all that stuff. And I wasn't generating business from referrals from the partners in the law firm. For some reason or other, they didn't want me to talk to their clients, even though they would get 50 cents of every dollar I generated through selling ERISA services to these clients, whatever it is. So I realized that, you know, the only way to survive is to properly market myself, providing articles to plan providers that the plan providers could use to solicit clients or to educate current clients. And I realized that, you know what, if you help plan providers out for free by developing these articles, they're going to remember you when there's an ERISA thing that needs to be fixed. They're going to, you know, oh, Ari helped me with this article that I, you know, against TPA payroll providers. And you know what? When I have an ERISA matter or a BCP situation, whatever it is, I'm going to refer it to Ari because Ari helped me out and, you know, I'm going to remember him. And that's really, you know, what it's all about. And that's how, you know, how I was able to be somewhat successful. I'll never be happy with how successful I am. And you just can't sit on the sidelines and wait by the phone and, you know, think that people are just going to call you up out of the blue. You always have to be persistent in marketing yourself, meeting people, meeting other plan providers, developing relationships and whatnot, just not sitting around and scratching your rear end.
Absolutely. I mean, when you were talking about cold syrup, I don't know if you've ever come across this particular brand, Buckley's.
It's a Canadian. Yeah.
So it is quite possibly the worst tasting thing ever conceived. I mean, I want to say like there's evergreen in it, like there's pine needles, all sorts of crap is in this thing. But if you get it down, I swear to God, your cough goes away like 10 minutes later.
Right.
So that's just a needless shameless plug for the Buckley people. If anyone from Buckley is listening, please come to one of our 401k conferences. That said, you know, our industry is wonderful and crazy, I think, at the same time. And sometimes there isn't a whole lot of rhyme or reason why people do stuff. I think the one constant though that you see is people falling back on the relationships that they've made. It's this industry in particular, folks are usually in it for life, and they usually have really long memories. So even if you don't like the person, don't burn the bridge. Right? You never know when that relationship will change. You never know when people move positions and the one guy that was, you know, keeping you from winning that business somehow becomes the reason why you win some business, right? So football season starting, right? And they love talking about putting stuff on tape. We all do the same thing, right? Don't write that nasty email. Write the email, just don't send it, right? Don't put that dumb post on Facebook. Don't be reactionary on Instagram. That stuff does not go away. It will follow you. It will be the albatross around your neck, you know, and a real detriment to your career, whether you're a provider, an advisor, a fiduciary, an ERISA attorney, an accountant. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, we have a local car wash here in Oceanside and whatever, and I've never been there. I've only gone to somewhere else. And anyway, on Facebook, people were complaining about the place, and the owner, rather than apologizing for it, just went on this rant, just like insulting the people who insult, you know, who are complaining about his business. And, you know, I'm not a big fan of people who have to disparage a business on Facebook. It's just, I feel like, you know what, I think people who do that are just really looking for attention. If I have a problem with like a local pizzeria, I'll bring it. If I'm so offended, I'll bring it up to them. And if I, you know, and if I don't get anywhere, I'm still not going to get, you know, post on Facebook. I don't need the pat on the back, and which I think a lot of people are looking for. But anyway, this owner for this car wash just, you know, was hammering these people, just, you know, like making insults, like, you know, about people's looks and this and that. And I'm like, I'll never go to that guy again. I've never been to that guy, but I certainly won't ever go to him because look how he treats his customers. And like you said, it's really, really important on how to position yourself. And you don't want to be known as, you know, the plan provider that insults other plan providers. And it segues what, you know, into a topic that I always talk about, that, you know, the retirement plan industry is so close-knit. You know, we have a national practice, you and I, you know, we had a conference in LA, and people know about us. Recently I talked to a friend of mine, Joe, which you met at the Chicago event. He said, you know, the advisor friend that he has in California who knows me and attended the Chicago Cubs event at Wrigley Field, he had another advisor who said, oh, you know who you should contact? Ari Rosenbaum. You know, so it's like here in San Francisco, you know, they're in San Francisco, they know of me. It's such a close-knit business that people know people. And, you know, when we were in L.A., we ran into people that we know, you know, the guys from Retireholics, they were there. And, you know, we were fans of each other. So, you know, it's the beauty of the retirement plan business, or some people say it's a bad thing, is it's very, very close knit, very, very small. People know each other and realize that, you know, you have a relationship driven business, and, you know, relationships take time. And I always talk about when I'm at a networking event, there's nothing, I don't even go to networking events anymore that much. But when you have a networking event, one of my pet peeves is when I have an insurance agent or a advisor coming up to me right out of the blue, like trying to think that they could solicit clients for me. And, you know, usually my clients are referrals from TPAs and advisors, and these clients already have advisors. And even if I had clients that aren't attached to an advisor, I'm not going to refer them to a person I just met. You know, you have to... You know, relationships and mutual referral relationships take trust, and they take time. And trust takes time. How many times people have been burned by, you know, picking out a provider that just, you know, came out of the woodworks and learning that you know, they're embezzlers or whatever. And so, you know, you got to realize it's a relationship-driven business, and that means working well with others. You know, if you develop a reputation as a plan provider who does shoddy work, or, you know, stiffs other plan providers, like my friend, the TPA in Atlanta, Georgia, who stiffed me on $40,000, you know, or stole clients. You know, I worked for a TPA with a bad relationship because they were producing TPA and they took clients from other advisors who brought them business. And so if you develop a bad reputation, you know, people will follow you. It's always the joke, you know, always the old wives' tale that if you pee in the pool, there will be a cloud following you.
Yeah.
That's true in the retirement plan business. If you pee on somebody or something, it's going to follow you in the retirement plan business. And people are going to say, oh, look at that guy or look at that gal. Don't trust them. They're bad news. And you don't want to be that person. And you don't be that person by realizing that everything you do, you got a relationship-driven business. And, you know, listen, I'll never be as happy in terms of my success. I will always think I could be even more successful. But one of the things that, you know, I'm happy about is that, you know, I treat people right. I treat people the way I want to be treated. Sometimes, like with John, the TPA who stiffed me in Atlanta, you know what? I wouldn't have done it to him. I trust people. And sometimes it doesn't work out, like with this TPA over there. And most of the time it does. But I think, you know, my goal in life is to treat people the way I want to be treated. And, you know, if people treat me badly, well, I'm going to tune them out. But I'm not going to change who I am. And, you know, it's extremely...
Let's just talk about them on our podcast.
What? Right. I didn't name the company.
I said, we'll just talk about them.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll just we'll just run you down and yeah.
You know the story. I mean, so and my two deadbeats, you know, my two bad stories are in the South as well. One's in Alabama, an advisor in Alabama that had the temerity to reach out to the TPA that I brought in on the client. I brought the advisor, this Jack, on the client as well, and yeah, to cut me out as a 316. And then, you know, we all know the other clown show that we had the misfortune of running into.
Right.
That you've written about a few times, Anna. So. Stuff follows you.
Exactly.
In this business. People have long memories.
And, you know, another thing I'm really big on, you know, content, social media content. I mean, that's how I developed my business. You know, easy to read articles that speak, whatever grammatical errors they have. And thankfully, I don't get as many complaints about my grammatical errors. But it kind of drives me nuts when I get those emails because, yeah, I know. And it bothers me. You know, I'm far from being a perfectionist because I obviously make a lot of mistakes. But anyway, besides the fact of the grammatical errors, you know, it does help out with business. You know, writing articles in a language that people can understand. I ran into somebody who works with a partner of a law firm that I worked under for a very short time, and he told me, oh, well, you know, talking to her, I always feel like, you know, she needs to, you know, break it down because I feel like such a dummy. And this is like somebody who's got 20 years in the retirement plan business as an employee benefit specialist. And he's saying this law firm partner makes him feel dumb. When it comes to content, I never tried to be that way. I always thought that was a stupid idea. I don't need people to think that I'm smart. I kind of know that I'm smart. So I don't have to speak in a risk of ease. It does me no good. It doesn't do my potential clients very well. There we go with my grammatical errors.
And does not serve them very well.
It doesn't serve them very well, and it doesn't serve plan providers very well as well. If you're going to produce content, do it in a language that people understand. And sometimes that language is Spanish. Listen, if you have a Spanish clientele, well, you know, write in Spanish. If you have a clientele that are attorneys, well, write in that kind of language. You have to write to the specific audience that you're trying to connect with. And that's an extremely important part of the business, realizing who your audience is and who are the great sources of clients, either directly with plan sponsors or indirectly through the use of a third-party plan provider.
Yep, absolutely.
And another way to stand out in this business is really offering something unique. I always tell the story, it goes back to pro wrestling. There was a guy by the name of Eric Bischoff. He was running WCW, which was the competitor to the WWF at the time. and he was going to put up a show up against WWF's Monday Night Raw, and everybody thought he was crazy. And I thought at the time he was crazy, but the best thing that he ever did was he sat down and he looked at what Raw was doing, and he says, you know, Raw's a tape show, I'm going to offer a live show. Raw has these squash matches, I'm going to have top-level main event type matches. They're kind of characters in wrestling are, you know, comic book or cartoon versions. I'm going to have more realistic characters. So what he did was he looked at what the competition was doing, and then he decided that he was going to create something unique. He wasn't going to create a carbon copy. And I think it's important as a plan provider, you're a financial advisor. Look at what other advisors are doing and see whether you can offer something that's unique. You know, I was an ERISA attorney, still am. I looked at what other ERISA law firms were doing, and I wanted to do something unique. And of course, you know, I had the marketing articles that helped out a lot. But most importantly, I decided that, you know, I didn't like billing people by the hour. So I was going to offer a practice where most of my work was done, a flat fee. When I have an IRS review audit, that's when I'm going to charge by the hour, because I can't guesstimate exactly how much work's been done. But for everything else, drafting a plan document, drafting a plan amendment, I kind of know how much work's going to be entailed in this. So, you know, if you're an advisor, maybe working on something dealing with the enrollment and education meetings, that may make you a little bit different out there. Because, you know, my joke is that, most plan enrollment education meetings haven't changed since the 1990s. Maybe you could offer something there. Maybe you can, you know, integrate with a unique benefit such as, you know, student loan matching or EvoShare. You know, maybe you have a technological breakthrough on an app or a website or whatever it is, or some type of plan, you know, concept. Again, it's important to look at what your competition is doing and seeing if you have something out there that's unique and different, that lets you stand out.
Partner with a MEP provider, or a professional fiduciary, a plan administrator.
Right.
Yeah, just to name a few self-promotional services.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, I I'm going to jump into the whole self-promotional pool right now. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I think we have coming out, Ari, that fits that description, right? It's a unique service, a unique product, a new approach on something that adds significant value to that relationship, to that plan sponsor relationship, and I think it'll go a long way in solidifying, you know, that relationship for the advisor.
Right. Exactly. You know, it pays to, you know, offer something unique, whether it's on your own or partner up with somebody. But, you know, the industry likes new and something refreshing and something that's unique. And that's just a great opportunity to further grow your business. And, you know, one of the caveats in trying to grow your business, when I started my own practice 9 years ago, I kind of realized that there was this kind of whole separate new industry that I've never come across before. It was an industry of people who wanted to separate me from my money. Meaning, in growing my business, you know, through networking, you're meeting these other professionals. Some people in the marketing world, some people in the public relations world, some people in the printing world, website world, SEO world, whatever it is. They wanted nothing better than to separate me for my money. You know, whether you're starting fresh or building up an existing plan provider business, you got to understand that, you know, people are going to try to sell you things and not everything you need. You got to be wise and prudent not to spend all your money. I ever see a new business? Right now in East Rockaway, right by me, next village over, there's a pizza place. And there were these successive pizza places failing within 2 to 6 months. And I just was amazed by it. Like, what were you doing? I mean, were you spending all this money on marketing and you just decided you just ran out? You need to plan accordingly and have a budget that you need to follow so you can survive and build your business. One time I got hired by an advisor who decided to leave their job from a pharmaceutical company and become an RIA. And he hired me as the ERISA attorney. And I want to say within 6 months, he was belly up. He couldn't find any clients. And he decided that he was going to, you know, cut this RIA business. You know, that's not good planning. You want, you know, to have enough resources to support yourself for a year or two before business starts to grow. And so that's why you got to be prudent with how you spend your money. An advisor or TPA can go broke just by going to every industry conference. You know, I'm not going to knock on any conferences, but of course I'm going to plug that 401k conference and that 401k national conference where we try not to break the back of the attendees. But again, you can't attend every conference that's out there. You know, a lot of wonderful events. You can just, you need an entire business to support that habit. So you got to understand, you know, you could try out some things and, you know, you have to first, to me, it's important, whatever you decide you're going to do, you know, you got to ask yourself, you know, how much is it going to be? And is it really going to lead to the audience that you need, which is direct access to plan sponsors or through the referral sources? So, you know, when I started out, I attended these small business networking events. And these were people who had smart IRA.
Another plug.
They had a simple IRA. That's what I wanted to say. They had a simple IRA. You know, you don't need a risk attorney for a simple IRA. So it wasn't a good fit. We have like a local attorney accounting group. You know, we actually might attend their event in October, we'll see. But I know a lot of TPAs that put out tables for these events and learned to regret it. They felt like they wasted their money. It was just not good use of resources. And so, you know, there's certain things I'll never spend money on. I remember being accosted by these SEO guys, search engine optimization, and, you know, telling me of all these great things about being ranked on Google. And I'm like, you know what? Nobody's really looking for a risk attorney online. It's mostly done through referrals, through plan providers. So I didn't use them. I didn't hire them. You know, it's all about exposure. And if you're not wise with your money, you're going to run out of it pretty quickly. And, you know, you have to work with people that understand what you're doing. I always talk about, which will segue to my next discussion about LinkedIn and publications. I hired a PR firm. Nice guy, wonderful guy, pleasant guy. He had no idea what I did as an ERISA attorney. He wanted me to network with another client of his, which was a negligence attorney. It's like a slip and fall attorney is not going to have any clients for me. Their clients are people who got injured on the job. There's no nexus for, you know, plan sponsor clients. He didn't know what I was doing. And, you know, he said to me, oh, you know, you get exposure in these publications, these newspapers. It helps develop your reputation. That's true. But the funniest part was I always said I wanted to be in the Wall Street Journal. And he's giving me some cock and bull story or whatever it is about how, you know, it takes time. You got to develop relationships with writers and you know, exposure in other publications and whatever it is. And 1 month right after I started, he says, why don't you take some time off? And I'm like, I don't want to hear that. And I actually fired him. It was that, and he wanted me to share offices with another one of his clients, which was a TPA. And I said, but that's an awful idea. A, I work out of the home. I can't afford rent. And B, other TPAs won't refer me work if they know I'm working at another TPA, whether it was secondly or not. So anyway, lo and behold, I write some stuff on LinkedIn and Twitter about ETFs and 401k plans. Within months, I'm in the Wall Street Journal. And that segues into LinkedIn and publications. So I started on my own in April 2010. It was very, very slow, too slow. So one summer, I got invited to go to the Battery Park Ritz-Carlton and met up with the co-founders of Brightscope. And one of them in particular, I think it was Mike Alford, said to me, you know what, you know, what's going on? I'm like, business is really not picking up. And so he said, you know what, the way we built our exposure with Brightscope, we went on the LinkedIn news groups. And we commented on stuff, and we posted stuff and whatnot. And that really started the article writing through JD Supra and the website and the blogging and all that stuff. And my business took off from that. So getting publications and being on LinkedIn and communicating with other plan providers may not directly get you clients, but it will certainly directly increase your reputation in the business. And by increasing your reputation in this business, it creates trust, relationships, you know, all good stuff, and get your name out there. And, you know, like the guy in Anchorman said, Ron Burgundy, you know, I'm kind of a big deal. You start to become a big deal by getting involved in social media and getting involved and getting your name dropped in publications. You know, my friends at 401k Specialist Magazine, you know, I post something and they like it and they repurpose it and put it in their magazine or put it on their website. So, you know, I don't get clients because my name was in the Wall Street Journal. I get clients by telling people, oh, by the way, I was in the Wall Street Journal.
Are you sure it's not because you have a vast knowledge of 1970s disaster movie at trivia?
No, it's in spite of that sometimes. You know, it's in spite of my love of Airplane, which I was very, very disappointed that there's a local, well, it's not that local, but there's a Chiller Theater convention in Parsippany, New Jersey. And this October, they were going to have Robert Hayes and Julie Haggerty from Airplane. And unfortunately, they had to cancel, I think. So now in 2020, they're going to have a bigger Airplane. They'll get some more people from Airplane at the convention.
Like a 40th anniversary? When did it come out? 80?
Yeah, it's going to be the 40th anniversary. Maybe they'll have that kid who's in the cockpit. You know, Peter Graves is no longer with us, and neither is Lloyd Bridges.
Or Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, and Steven Stucker, who played Johnny. Robert Stack, you know, all those. But maybe we'll get the two guys who speak jive. I don't know.
There you go.
You know, the other stewardess, Randy, who was singing, you know, who was doing her Helen Reddy impersonation from Airplane 75.
The one that kept knocking out the IV, yeah, right?
That's based on, you know, I always talk how Airplane is a redo of Zero Hour. There are certain instances where they do take stuff from Airport. In Airport 75, there's a girl played by Linda Blair from The Exorcist, and she's getting a new kidney, I think it was, or whatever it is. And there's Helen Reddy, the singer. Hear Me Woman, did she do Hear Me Woman? Roar or whatever. Helen Reddy was there, and she was playing a nun who was singing, and so they play off of that and whatever. So maybe she'll be there.
Linda Blair was a Terminator girl?
No.
Or no?
That's Linda Hamilton. Linda Blair's The Exorcist.
Ah, Linda Blair. The Ham. Okay. She'd come out this week and said that she'd been celibate for 15 years.
Who's this?
The Terminator girl.
She's an interesting person. She's bipolar, and she was married to James Cameron, and that didn't end very, very well. It was like right after Titanic. It was like all of a sudden he was, you know, he was with Titanic, and then all of a sudden he's dating Susie Amos, who was played the granddaughter on Titanic, and then he married her, and you know her career.
Interesting.
And then she didn't do Terminator 3.
No. Speaking of Cameron, when are those sequels supposed to come out of the for Avatar?
It keeps on getting pushed back, and I really couldn't care because I didn't like the first movie.
You weren't a fan, huh?
No. I'm like, okay. What is this? And it was just, it really didn't interest me. It's one of those movies, like, I don't get, it's like the first Matrix. I think I watched the first Matrix or the first Lords of the Ring, and I'm like, I don't, this doesn't really interest me.
Lord of the Rings is good. Matrix is okay.
Yeah, I saw the first Matrix. I really, you know, just, and I know they're going to reboot it or they're doing a fourth one or whatever it is, but whatever.
I'm excited. I want to see the, and we've now digressed into the at the movies part of our podcast.
Well, pretty much done with this topic. The only thing I'll add for our topic was it takes time and effort. So whatever you do, don't panic. It does take time to work things out. So anyway, about the movies.
Put a little sweat into it. The that Brad Pitt one where his dad's
at Astra?
That looks really interesting, I think.
Yeah, it does look interesting, and I can't believe Liv Tyler's doing another space movie after, some 20-some-odd years after Armageddon, playing the wife.
Oh, is that?
That's Liv Tyler.
Oh, Liv Tyler, yes.
Yeah.
She's in it, yeah. It was weird. I was thinking about where the hell did she go?
She got married, and then she got divorced, and she's, like, living in London. She had another kid. I don't know.
Weird stuff. Well, so yeah. There you go.
Ad Astra looks good. The new Terminator looks good. Star Wars looks good. I haven't seen anything that looks bad. I mean, there's stuff in the theaters. I always like those trailers in the theaters. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to see this.
What about The Irishman? When's that coming out?
It's supposed to be released in the theaters for a short time. Probably November it's going to come out on Netflix. That movie does look good. It's a good trailer.
Right, that's the Scorsese?
Yep.
Well, with all three of them, right? What is it, Pacino?
De Niro and Pesci.
And Pesci.
Yeah, Pacino's playing Jimmy Hoffa, and De Niro's playing the Irishman who supposedly whacked Jimmy Hoffa, or so he claims. And it's based on a book called I Paint Houses, which is in reference to I Kill People. That's the code. So in the trailer, you'll see, I hear you paint houses.
Interesting.
Says, yes, I do. So.
Interesting.
And they paid all that money for that de-aging process.
You know, maybe we should pitch a show to the History Channel to track down Jimmy Hoffa. That's like a big thing these days, like tracking down lost crap.
Well, they did that with, didn't they, when they replaced the turf at Giant Stadium?
There was a show for that?
No, it wasn't a show, but they looked for him.
Oh.
And they looked recently for him at some other spots. They didn't find him.
I guess he's still out there.
Yeah, exactly. He's at a bar sitting next to Judge Crater.
Exactly.
You know.
Oh, man. All right, well, I think we've come to the end of another fun-filled podcast.
Exactly. Exactly. So until next time, we're signing off. Take care.
Have a great weekend. Enjoy the football. It's back this weekend.
Take care. Bye.